Welcome to the Animal Health and Veterinary Employment Insider, brought to you by The Vet Recruiter. In this podcast, Animal Health Executive Recruiter and Veterinary Recruiter Stacy Purcell of The Vet Recruiter provides insight and practical advice for both employers and job seekers in the animal health and veterinary industries. The Vet Recruiter's focus is to solve talent-centric problems for the animal health industry and veterinary profession. In fact, the Vet Recruiter's mission is to help animal health and veterinary companies hire top talent while helping animal health and veterinary professionals attain career-enhancing opportunities that increase their quality of life. Today, we will be continuing our discussion about recruiting and hiring veterinarians in a challenging job market. Hello, Stacy, and thank you so much for joining us today. So Stacy, we transitioned from recruiting to hiring in our previous podcast episode. So does that mean now we'll be discussing everything that happens after a veterinarian job candidate accepts an offer of employment?
Yes, that's correct. When a candidate accepts an offer, it means the employer has successfully recruited them. The employer has convinced the candidate to work for their organization. Of course, the employer's job is not over at that point.
Because now it has to successfully hire the candidate?
Right. The employer has convinced the candidate to work for its organization. Now it has to make that actually happen. In other words, it has to make the candidate an actual employee, and that's what we'll be talking about today.
Sounds good. Where would you like to start, Stacy?
Well, I'd like to start with the two-week period between when the candidate, like the veterinarian, for example, accepts an offer of employment and when they start work. And the first thing that I'd like to mention is that it's not always a two-week time period.
It's not. Why is that?
Well, a couple years ago, I noticed a trend with job seekers. When they accepted an offer of employment, some of them would ask the employer if they could start the position not in 2 weeks, but in several weeks. In some cases, the length of time was a month to 6 weeks or even more.
Really? Over a month?
Yes. In one case, a candidate requested that she be able to start in 4 months. The reason she gave regarding her request is that her boss was extremely upset by the fact that she was leaving and wanted more time to plan for replacing her.
Okay, if I was the employer that just made the offer to the candidate, I would not be happy about that.
Well, the reason that an organization hires someone in the first place typically is because they have a problem that needs to be solved or a need they want addressed. Ideally, they want the solution to their problem as quickly as possible. When they have an open position, they are usually wanting someone who can start sooner rather than later.
And if you have 4 months between the time that the candidate accepts the offer and their supposed first day of work, anything could happen.
That's also correct, and that's the point. In order to successfully hire a candidate after they've accepted your offer of employment, you must keep them engaged during the time period between their acceptance of the offer and their first official day of work. To keep a candidate fully engaged for 4 months is asking a lot. It's already difficult enough to keep a candidate engaged for 2 weeks, especially in a job market in which, for example, veterinarians have the majority of leverage in hiring situations.
Would it be accurate to say that the goal for employers is to keep the time frame between acceptance and the official start date to as few days as possible, while at the same time keeping their engagement of the candidate as high as possible?
Yes, that would be accurate. In fact, there are multiple reasons why employers must keep candidates who will soon be employees as engaged as possible before their first official day of work. Failing to keep the candidate engaged can lead to the candidate losing interest, changing their mind, or even accepting a different job offer. First, keeping the candidate engaged helps to reinforce their commitment to the job. It's important to keep the candidate excited about the job offer they have accepted and to remind them why they chose to accept the offer in the first place. By doing so, you can reduce the likelihood of the candidate accepting a competing job offer.
Or they could accept a counteroffer from their current employer.
Yes, that's also a risk. The second reason to keep the candidate engaged is to start building a positive relationship between the candidate and the organization. A positive relationship can lead to increased job satisfaction and reduced turnover in the future. By keeping the candidate engaged, you can begin to build a relationship that will continue throughout their employment with the organization. The third reason is to help improve the candidate's onboarding experience. When a candidate starts a new job, their first few weeks can be overwhelming. By keeping the candidate engaged before they start, you can help to ease their transition into the new job.
How would an organization do that?
Well, there are multiple ways, like providing them with information about the organization and any necessary paperwork and training materials. And we'll talk more in depth about that in a few minutes. And the fourth reason to keep candidates engaged after they accept a job offer is because doing so can help to improve their productivity once they start working. When a candidate is engaged and excited about their new job, they are more likely to hit the ground running once they start working. They will be eager to learn, contribute, and make a positive impact on the organization. This can lead to increased productivity, better job performance, and improved outcomes for the organization.
So what's the answer for veterinary employers? What should they be doing?
Well, there is a lot they should be doing, starting with recognizing that the onboarding process starts the moment that the candidate accepts the offer of employment. It does not start on the new employee's first official day of work.
Because they might not show up for their first day of work.
Exactly. But before we dive into the specifics of what employers should do, I want to address the differences between onboarding and orientation.
Why is that?
Well, because some people, including some hiring managers, think that they're one and the same, but they aren't. And recognizing that they aren't is important in terms of engaging candidates after they've accepted an offer of employment.
What are the differences between onboarding and orientation?
Well, there are quite a few, and I'll address them one at a time. But first, I'd like to give a brief definition of each one. Orientation is typically a one-time event that takes place shortly after a new employee is hired. It is designed to provide basic information about the organization, its culture, and its policies and procedures. Orientation often includes a tour of the workplace, introductions to key staff members, and an overview of the employee's job duties and responsibilities. Onboarding, on the other hand, is a more comprehensive process that takes place over an extended period of time, usually the first 90 days of employment. It is designed to provide new employees with the tools, resources, and support they need to be successful in their new roles. Onboarding includes not only orientation, but also ongoing training, coaching, and feedback.
So orientation is part of onboarding, but it's not really the same thing, though.
Well, yes, that's correct. While orientation is important, it is not sufficient to ensure that a new employee is fully prepared to begin their work. The goal of onboarding is to help new employees become fully integrated into the organization, to understand its values and culture, and to feel like they're part of a team.
So onboarding is more about engagement, which is very important in the hiring process.
Yes, that's right. Onboarding is all about engagement. It's about making sure that the candidate is onboarded to the organization in a comprehensive fashion. It's about more than making sure the employee knows where the supplies are kept or what the dress code is. It's about fully immersing them into the organization, and that's one of the major differences between the two processes. Another difference is that orientation is often focused on compliance. Orientation may include training on safety protocols or harassment policies, for example, while onboarding may include team building activities or mentorship programs. By focusing on engagement, onboarding helps new employees feel like they're part of a community, which can lead to increased job satisfaction and retention.
So, Stacey, I noticed that you mentioned orientation is a one-time event. Is that also a difference between the two?
Well, absolutely. Onboarding is an ongoing process for as many as 90 days or even longer if necessary. It provides ongoing support and guidance, as well as opportunities for feedback and development. This allows new employees to continue to learn and grow in their roles and to be supported and valued as they do so.
So how else are the two processes different?
Well, another important difference lies in the number of people involved in each one. Orientation is often led by human resources, while onboarding is a collaborative effort that involves multiple departments and stakeholders. HR may be responsible for organizing orientation sessions, but onboarding requires input and support from managers, mentors, and colleagues. This collaborative approach ensures that new employees have access to a wide range of resources and perspectives and helps to build a sense of teamwork and collaboration from the very beginning.
Stacey, I also noticed that you mentioned mentors. How important is mentorship in the onboarding process and for fresh veterinary graduates in particular?
Well, that's a great question. So mentorship is very important, both in terms of the onboarding process and especially for fresh veterinary graduates. It can make the difference between a candidate accepting an offer and turning it down. And as I mentioned in previous podcast episodes, veterinary students are receiving multiple job offers before they even graduate. And that's how severe the veterinarian shortage is.
What are these candidates looking for in a mentorship or in a mentoring situation?
Well, they're looking for multiple things. And keep in mind that it's not just fresh graduates who are looking for mentoring opportunities. Even veterinarians with experience can benefit from having a mentor, and a mentor can be instrumental in helping a new employee stay engaged throughout the onboarding process. First and foremost, a mentor can help a new employee understand their roles and responsibilities. A mentor can help clarify expectations, answer questions, and provide guidance on how to handle difficult situations. Second, a mentor can help a new veterinarian develop new skills. Veterinary medicine is constantly evolving, and new technologies and techniques are being developed all the time. A mentor can help new professionals stay up to date on these changes and provide guidance on how to implement new practices in their work.
Stacey, I would think that a new graduate would relish a mentoring relationship because it would allow them to see how what they learned in veterinary school translates to in the real world.
Yes, that's exactly the case. Even after graduating, there's still a learning curve for new graduates when they enter the profession, and that's another way in which a mentorship can help. In addition, a mentor can help new veterinary professionals build relationships with their colleagues and clients. They can help these professionals develop their communication skills by providing feedback, modeling, effective communication techniques, and introducing them to key contacts in the field. And last but not least, a mentor can provide emotional support to new veterinary professionals. Starting a new job can be overwhelming, and it can take time to adjust to a new workplace culture and environment.
Burnout and stress has been a problem in the veterinary profession, has it not?
Yes, it has. And the shortage of veterinarians has contributed to the problems, since those veterinarians who are employed often have to deal with larger caseloads and more work. This is another reason why a mentorship is important and can sway a veterinary candidate to choose one job offer over another. A mentor can offer a listening ear, a source of encouragement, and a sounding board for ideas and concerns. This can help new veterinarians feel more confident and motivated in their work, and it can also help prevent burnout and turnover.
So a veterinary employer or practice that does not have a mentorship program in place should consider creating one. Is that right?
Veterinarian job candidates, especially younger ones or those who just graduated or about to graduate. By investing in mentorship programs, veterinary practices can help new professionals succeed in their roles, improve patient care, and build a strong and resilient workforce for the future.
So Stacey, we are just about out of time. So is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up today's podcast episode?
Yes, I want to reiterate that onboarding and orientation are two distinct processes that serve different purposes in the employee life cycle. While orientation is important for providing new employees with basic information about the organization, onboarding is a more comprehensive process that focuses on developing the skills and knowledge needed for success in the role. By providing ongoing support, feedback, and engagement opportunities, onboarding helps new employees feel integrated, supported, and valued, which can lead to increased job satisfaction and retention. With the job market as tight for talent as it is right now, especially in the veterinary profession, employers can't afford to lump these two processes together or make the mistake of thinking that they're the same thing. I know we went over a lot of information today, and there is some information that we didn't get to, but we'll have the chance to continue this conversation.
Stacey, thank you so much for joining us today and for all of this great information about recruiting and hiring veterinarians in a challenging market.
It's been my pleasure, and I look forward to our next episode of the Animal Health and Veterinary Employment Insider.
Now, before we go today, I want to remind our listening audience to check out the hot veterinarian jobs and hot animal health jobs that are posted on the Vet Recruiter website. We also now have a section for hot animal health and veterinary job candidates. And if you are an employer needing to hire a veterinarian or animal health professional, or an animal health professional or veterinarian wanting to see what other opportunities are out there, log on to the Vet Recruiter website at www.thevetrecruiter.com.